In God's Word, the book of John, chapter 3. It is good to be here this morning. I appreciate you making your way to the meeting house. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation. I look forward to our week together. Just pray that the Lord would bless. He's mighty good. John chapter 3, if you'll stand with me as we read. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, it is good to be in the meeting house with the saints this morning. We're grateful for your presence. God, we pray that you'd bless now the preaching of your word. I need your help. Lord, if there be one here who does not know you as Savior, God, I pray that you would use your word to bring conviction. Lord, we love you. We thank you for hearing and answering prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. John chapter 3 is one of the most familiar passages in the Word of God. In this chapter, we find probably the most quoted verse in Scripture, John 3:16. Many of you who had the blessing of growing up in a Christian home could probably testify that the first verse you learned to quote was indeed John 3:16. You know the story of how Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, one whom Jesus refers to as a master of Israel, comes to the Savior by night, and he gives testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now, the evidence based upon his testimony was what Jesus had done, not the words which we have heard, but we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. At least he understood that the works which Jesus did were of God. And as a Jew, who, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, requires a sign in order to believe, as a Jew, he at least realized that what Jesus did was sign enough to prove that he was different than anyone who had ever lived. Jesus then does not talk about his miracles, but immediately said unto him in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except a man be born again. It's not the giving of sight to the blind. It's not the healing of those who are lame. It's not the casting out of devils that is the most necessary miracle to be performed in our lives. It's the new birth, believing that Jesus will save those who come to him by faith. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You Bible students know immediately of what Jesus is speaking. Kingdom of God is the phrase that's always used to talk about that spiritual kingdom that's within a man. And Jesus is talking about spiritual things, whereas at this point, Nicodemus is talking about earthly things. Jesus would use those words, "Verily, verily." He'll use them again in this chapter. 25 times he uses them together in the book of John alone. "Verily, verily." And would we ever expect the Master to do anything but tell us the truth? Everything that he has said is true. And he is speaking the truth to Nicodemus. If you want to be a part of that spiritual kingdom, if you want to see God, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now Nicodemus is not being contentious. Nicodemus simply does not understand. And he is trying to understand. In this respect, oh, that the rest of the world was like Nicodemus. That they would at least ask the questions. That they would at least try to understand the necessity of salvation. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Jesus is going to provide commentary on that which he has already spoken. He's going to try to help Nicodemus to understand what it means to be born of the Spirit. And he says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now there are those who will take that passage of Scripture and say, "Oh, that's teaching baptismal regeneration, that baptism is necessary for salvation." Jesus is not referring to baptism here. He is referring to being born of the water and of the Spirit. And he explains that in the next verse, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." When he speaks of being born of water, he is speaking about the fleshly birth, the new birth. He is not speaking of baptism. And what is Jesus doing? He is making an exclusive statement. For you see, there are those who believe in something that's known as universal redemption or universal salvation. Not so very far from here, many years ago in Philadelphia, there was a well-known Baptist preacher by the name of Elhanan Winchester. Winchester, though he was used of God to see many people saved while he was a Baptist preacher, he fell into error. He embraced the teaching of universal salvation, which says that everyone eventually will be saved.
There are some who will go to hell and they will suffer there for a while, and after they have paid for what they have done wrong, they will be released from hell and will be allowed to go to heaven. They even believe, those who accept such a teaching, that one day after Satan has suffered long enough in the lake of fire, that he will have atoned for what he has done wrong and will be allowed entrance into heaven. Folks, that is heresy. And what Jesus is doing is making an exclusive statement when he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," he is excluding Satan and all of the devils from salvation. For you see, they've never had a physical birth. Jesus is affirming that the only candidates for salvation are those who have experienced a natural birth, mankind. Those are the only ones who can be born again. Not the angels, not the devils, only man. We ought to be thankful that the new birth is available to us, that we can be saved. And if you're here this morning and you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I know you can testify to the goodness of God as far as salvation is concerned. And if you're here this morning and you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, there's never been a time that you have experienced this new birth, you need to be saved. And the gospel is given here in John chapter 3. Jesus says that in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now Nicodemus was marveling. "Oh, I've never heard this before." In fact, this is the first time we think of John 3:3, and we think of John 3:16, very popular passages of Scripture. We can quote them. How would you have liked to have been present when those verses were spoken for the first time? That's the occasion here in John chapter 3. And Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now thank God you've got a King James Bible, because you have a truth here that has been taken away from almost every modern version. You think words don't mean anything? They have a meaning. There are those who say all those pronouns, thee and thou and ye and yours, they're old, archaic, they mean nothing. Well, yes, they do. That's the reason why your King James Bible uses them. Because they are either singular or plural. The use of them tells you the difference. And here in John 3, verse 7, here's a distinction that you have in your King James Bible. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee," singular, "ye," plural, "must be born again." This tells us that Nicodemus and Jesus were not the only ones present. There were other people there. Who were they? I don't know, perhaps the disciples. But when he said, "Ye must be born again," he is saying, "Nicodemus, it's not just you." He was saying that the others had to be born again as well. And this, when making the spiritual application, is also true. Jesus was not just saying, "Nicodemus, the new birth is for you and you alone," but by using the word, "Ye must be born again," that's for everyone who would hear and everyone who would read. Ye must be born again. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Jesus uses another illustration to give the truth of the new birth. Again, in verse 9, "Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be?" Nicodemus is not questioning what Jesus is saying as being the truth. His question is simply to understand what Jesus is speaking. How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? The answer to that question is yes. Nicodemus was a master in Israel. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he did not understand what Jesus was saying. And lest we judge him too harshly, you do remember there in Luke chapter 18, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples about going to Jerusalem to die, and that he would suffer, and he would rise again the third day, the disciples didn't understand. The saying was hid from them, the Bible tells us. So we don't judge Nicodemus too harshly for not understanding this the first time it was spoken. But Jesus is going to explain. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Now, Nicodemus, you have no problem seeing the works which I have done and verifying that I am of God because of those miracles. But what's more important? It's the words of God. And Jesus said, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. That's a common problem whenever you're witnessing to someone. They do not believe very often what you have to say. It doesn't change the truth. We continue to witness to them. And we continue to pray that God will use that witness. But witness we must. And Jesus is willing to take the time to speak to Nicodemus, to tell him about things which at the moment he cannot understand, but that one day he will understand. And there's the blessing in the Word of God. It will never return void. And whereas people may not understand today, they may understand later. And so we do not quit testifying and speaking the things of God. Jesus says in verse 12, if I have told you earthly things, he did. Did he not just speak about the natural birth and the wind? You see, Jesus had Nicodemus approach him and speak about physical things, and Jesus began to speak of spiritual things. Now, in order to help Nicodemus understand those spiritual things, Jesus will give earthly illustration. And he does as he speaks about the natural birth and as he speaks about the wind, things simply to help Nicodemus put in perspective the things that Jesus is speaking. Jesus said, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? How shall you believe? Now again, the wording of your King James Bible is perfect. It is precise. And I know you did not come to the meeting house today for an English lesson. But here's another one. For we have an English Bible. And we speak the English language. And Jesus says, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? The word shall is always future tense. Future tense. Jesus is not talking about what was going to take place there and then. He was talking about something that would become effectual later. How shall? When it comes time to believe, Nicodemus, how are you going to believe? How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, see, these are heavenly truths of which Jesus is speaking. Heavenly things that he's making known. He has already illustrated heavenly truth with earthly illustrations, but now he is going to talk about heavenly things. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, here's how. What's it take to believe? Nicodemus, if you're going to experience a new birth, what does it take? Verse 13. Again, thank God you have a King James Bible, because this truth is going to be attacked in every modern Bible version. Verse 13 is one of the greatest verses in the Word of God that speaks of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. That last phrase, which is in heaven, is omitted from modern Bible versions. What's Jesus saying? Nicodemus, there's only one who has ascended to heaven. It's he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Who's the Son of Man? It's Jesus. What is Jesus saying? Nicodemus, I have ascended into heaven. I have descended from heaven. I am in heaven now. You say, how do you explain the fact that Jesus is standing right there speaking to Nicodemus and he's in heaven at the same time? He's God. That's what the Scripture is saying. And Jesus has just said, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? The first thing that's necessary for salvation is that salvation be wrought by God. It takes God to save. Man cannot save himself. Man cannot earn salvation. Man cannot purchase salvation. Man cannot live good enough. He cannot be baptized enough. He cannot partake of the ordinances enough in order to save himself. It takes God to save a soul. And the first thing that's necessary to acquire the new birth is to believe that it is a work of God. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus that he is God. This great verse, John 3:13, speaks of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God in flesh. And then he goes on to say, verse 14. Now, remember, Jesus has asked Nicodemus the question, art thou a master of Israel, knowest not these things? He didn't know, but he should have had some idea. And as Jesus begins to tell him certain things, Nicodemus, one who was familiar with the Scriptures, one who as a ruler among the Jews was required to memorize the first five books of the law, Nicodemus should have had his attention drawn to Scripture when Jesus said, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Look with me at the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Proverbs 30. Nicodemus perhaps thought of this verse as Jesus made that statement. In Proverbs 30, the Bible tells us in verse 4, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? The same wording which Jesus is using. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind? Jesus has just spoken about the wind. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters? Jesus has just spoken about the water as far as a natural birth is concerned. Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. A direct cross-reference to John 3, verse 13. Do you think that Nicodemus put the connection together as Jesus is speaking? Jesus goes on then and he directs Nicodemus' attention to another Old Testament passage. Verse 14 of John 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is referencing that which Nicodemus was required to have committed to memory. It was Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. We read there, beginning with verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." This is what Jesus is referencing in verse 14 of John chapter 3. Nicodemus would have immediately recognized the scripture. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus has just said in verse 13 of John chapter 3 that he is the Son of Man, that he is God. It takes God for salvation. And Nicodemus, what's going to happen to God in the flesh? They're going to lift him up on the cross to die. He is going to take the sins of the world upon himself. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he will be made sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus, just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, Jesus would be lifted up to die. Remember, it's what he said there in John chapter 12 when he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And he is telling Nicodemus here that the Son of Man, God, must be lifted up on a cross to die. You say God can't die. He did. And the scripture tells us in Acts 20, verse 28, that it was the blood of God that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Jesus was lifted up to die, and he died for your sins and my sins, the sins of the world. Jesus did that so that we might be saved, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know what Jesus is doing? He's preaching the gospel to Nicodemus. Nicodemus doesn't understand it, but he will later. Nicodemus could not have understood it. You say, why not? It hadn't happened yet, but it was going to. Jesus was telling him things that were going to happen, but they hadn't happened yet. That's why the words shall and should are used. It's talking about future, what would shortly come to pass. And he's telling Nicodemus, it's not the works which I have performed upon men that will bring you the new birth, but it's the work which I will do on the cross. And it's the work which I will do in rising again from the dead that makes the new birth possible. And we praise him for that work. Jesus would go on to say then, in that most quoted of verses, in John 3:16, he will continue to preach unto him the gospel. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Again, thank God that you've got a King James Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That word is removed from most modern versions. The word begotten. It's important because of what it means. You see, the word begotten does not have anything to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means something else entirely. And in order to understand that, we must see the references in Scripture. We turn to the second Psalm, Psalm 2. And what is it that the Bible will tell us here by way of prophecy in the second Psalm? Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. And we don't have time to make the commentary this morning. We'll just simply say that those who have taken counsel against Jesus here in Psalm 2 and verse 2, by way of prophecy, it's talking about Herod and it's talking about Pilate. Your cross references are Luke 4, Acts 4, Acts chapter 10, and Hebrews chapter 1. But the Lord goes on to say in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. This day have I begotten thee. What does that mean? Well, there is a scripture in the New Testament that tells us exactly what that means, and we turn to Acts chapter 13 for the commentary. And that's how we understand scripture. It's with scripture. In Acts chapter 13, the second psalm is referenced. Acts 13, beginning with verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree. Who did? There's a reference to Nicodemus. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. What does the scripture there in the second psalm mean when it says, this day have I begotten thee? It's talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, it's not talking about Jesus coming into this world as a baby. It's talking about Jesus rising again from the dead. And the scripture refers to it that way over and over as Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, the first begotten of the dead. And the scripture here, as Jesus is speaking unto Nicodemus, he is saying, Nicodemus, if you're going to be saved, it takes God to do that work. And here I am, God in the flesh. Nicodemus, I am going to be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. I'm going to die on the cross. But that's not the end, Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, we believe not just in a crucified Lord, but we believe in a resurrected Lord. And he died on the cross and took the sins of the world upon himself, but could not have gotten up out of that grave. We'd all still be lost and on our way to hell. Our faith would be in vain. We are saved because of what Jesus did on the cross and because he rose again from the dead. And Jesus is speaking the gospel to Nicodemus when he tells him of his crucifixion and of his resurrection. Did Nicodemus understand? No, he didn't. The disciples didn't understand. But because they had the information, when the time came, they'd be able to believe. They would understand. Now Nicodemus went away from this place different than he came. Some said that he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's no proof that he got saved here. He couldn't have gotten saved here. The only way people can get saved in this church age is to believe that Jesus has died and that he has risen from the dead. Jesus is foretelling the event, but the event hadn't happened. That's why he's using the word shall and should. Perfectly presented in your Bible. But in John chapter 7, whenever the Pharisees are speaking against Jesus, there's one among them who is found defending Jesus. It's Nicodemus. When you get over to John chapter 19, and Jesus has been crucified, and they beg the body of Jesus, who is it? As a secret disciple that takes the body of Jesus from the cross, it's Joseph of Arimathea. And who is the other man that assists him in preparing that body for the burial? It's Nicodemus. I believe that Nicodemus became a follower of Jesus. It's fairly evident from the scripture. I at least know this, that Jesus said to Nicodemus, here at this time, at night, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We know Nicodemus saw Jesus on the cross because he helped take his body down from the cross. What do you think Nicodemus was thinking as he saw Jesus lifted up, crucified? Do you think his mind went back to that conversation by night when Jesus had prophesied, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up? What do you think Nicodemus was thinking whenever he assisted Joseph of Arimathea in preparing the body for burial and put him in that tomb? Do you think that John 3:16, the words that Jesus had spoken unto him, ever crossed his mind? Do you think when he is laying the body of Jesus in that tomb that these words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you think those words came to his mind? I don't know for sure that they did, but I don't see how they could not have been ringing in his mind on that occasion. Regardless, what Jesus has done is he has spoken, he has preached before the gospel to Nicodemus. If I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And he did just that. He told him of things that earth could not accomplish. Only one from heaven. It takes God for salvation. Dear soul, are you saved? Thank God for it. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to have to come the same way that Jesus is speaking of here in the third chapter of John. You're going to have to come to God. You're going to have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead, that you might be saved. If you believe that Jesus did that for you, and you trust him as your Savior, then, and only then, can you be born again. What you need this morning, is it to thank him for what he has done? If you're lost, your great need is that you believe on him as your Savior. Let's stand as we pray.